In this section, I provide a discussion of some material that Father Jean Leclerc offers in his book, The Love of Learning and the Desire for God, which I'd strongly recommend to any of you who haven't read it, and perhaps to those of you who already have, to refresh your understanding or your recollection of how he describes the authentic form of monastic culture and of monastic learning to represent a unique contribution during the period of the Middle Ages, which retained its uniqueness even during the development of scholasticism and represented a very important part of the Church's heritage, which continues to be necessary today. And a significant part of this is our liturgical heritage. He describes the fact that in the liturgy we come into contact with the scriptures and with the writings of the fathers and the mothers of the church, and that through that a process of creation takes place that gives birth to poetry and to ongoing reflection on the liturgical texts and the biblical texts themselves, which then are reincorporated into the liturgy. He was particularly interested in the antiphons and the hymns and sequences and tropes, which are all of them poetic forms and can also represent a biblical pastiche, a bringing together of different texts in order to provide a reflection of what one understands the whole goal of salvation history to be. And so if you drop down to the paragraph that begins concerning the mystical significance, he says, and if you look at the boldface section, the delicacy of liturgical poetry makes of the sacred words, the groups of versicles, each of them, because of their origin and particular meaning, has a special significance and whose combination produces a more complex and a newer whole. They are daring in juxtaposing two texts, one of which throws light on the other and forming, as it were, a contrast that makes one individual's light more intense. So there is a contrasting of biblical texts, a bringing together of these texts in this sung poetry that is a reflection of the prayer experience of the monk or nun who composed this. And one of the beautiful examples of this, if you drop down, is the prolix responsory, the homo quidam, which is the response after the reading, particularly at Vespers, but it could also conceivably have been used at Lauds, for the Feast of Corpus Christi, the feast that we now call the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. And what we find in this responsory, and I've also given as downloadable beneath this audio lecture, a sung version of the Homo Quidam, sung by a couple of us. And you can notice how the melody rises and falls and itself very beautifully expresses the deeper spiritual significance of the words. Now, it is formulaic in the sense that the melodies were not just created for this particular responsory. Some of the melismatic flow is rather standard in the Gregorian repertoire and will be found in other antiphons and other responsories as well. But it's been beautifully adapted to this text. But I'd like us here to look at the biblical texts. Notice what the creators of this responsory have done. And who were the creators? When did it happen? It's hard to say. These texts were probably brought together and put in their musical form somewhere between the 9th and the 11th centuries. The precise date is difficult to fix. But what has happened is that two similar but really unrelated biblical texts have been brought together. The first is Luke 14, verses 16 to 17. A man was giving a great feast and sent his servant at the hour of the meal to say to the invited persons that they should come, for all had been prepared. The wonderful thing about this, if you remember that biblical text, is that in the original, this doesn't have a very happy ending. You remember that the guests find all sorts of excuses, and the master giving the feast ends up inviting many other people, which has a very beautiful meaning, but it's rather sad that those invited don't come. Well, in this sequence, the latter portion of that biblical text is not used. It's the text of the invitation. God has said to all of us invited at the hour of the meal that we should come, for all has been prepared. And then to that introduction is added the text of Proverbs 9, 1 to 10. Well, it's not all of that, but a section from that biblical text of Proverbs, in which holy wisdom, lady wisdom, says, "Come into my tent, come eat my bread, and drink the wine that I have mixed for you." So Proverbs 9, 5 is juxtaposed with Luke 14, 16 to 17. The invitation from God and wisdom's invitation to come and eat and drink, to eat the bread and drink the wine. So the production of this text, which is itself a kind of an ongoing meditation or commentary on the text that had been chosen in the liturgy to describe the institution of the Lord's Supper, have been composed, have been reflected on, have been created, and have resulted in the production of this very beautiful responsory, which itself now has entered back into the liturgy. Reflection on the meaning of the liturgy, as we've seen, recommended to us by Cyril and Ambrose, as we've seen detailed in Dionysius and specifically applied in Maximus, now we see the product of that. People who do this bring biblical texts together, set them to music, and that itself feeds back into and becomes a part of the liturgy. In other words, it is passed on to subsequent generations of Christians to meditate upon and to be for them a source of deepening union with God. So, when you have a moment, I'd invite you to click on the next downloadable portion below this section for the audio lecture, and it will be the sung version of the Homo Quidam. You're welcome to sing along if you like, and you can see how that melody rises and flows, expressing the underlying significance of this text. And I've given an example, for which I haven't given you a sung version, of a modern application of this, someone who created an antiphon based on this responsory, which is used now in the liturgy of my own community. Melodically similar and clearly informed by our own Father Wilfred Wietze's own meditation on this text, based on his experience of many years of singing this prolix responsory. So the process that is introduced by Cyril and Ambrose and continued by Dionysius and Maximus that we see lived out in this responsory continues on in our own day. It is something we continue by meditating, reflecting on the liturgy, and then by passing on as a part of the heritage our own contributions to the liturgy, sometimes musical, sometimes poetic.